Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, for your grace, love, and mercies. Thank you for your presence and power in our lives. Thank you for your helps you have sent into our lives. Thank you, Father. Be glorified forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for how you have helped us to live righteously in your sight. Thank you for the revival that is in our spirits and souls. We thank you for drawing us closer unto yourself. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your truth that is setting us free. As your word had said, we shall know, and the truth shall make us free. Thank you for showing us your truth in such a way that it makes us free. Thank you, Father. We thank you for all the teachings you have taught us in this ministry. We thank you for giving us an obedient heart to obey those teachings. Thank you, Lord. And we thank you for how you have given us an humble heart to receive the instructions in your word and to do them accordingly. Thank you, Lord. I ask, O Lord, that the teachings or the teaching of tonight, let it bless as many that will listen. In the name of Jesus, I ask that you use the message in today's teaching to change many lives, to revive many, to transform many. In the name of Jesus, let every heart that will listen be enlightened and edified in the name of Jesus. I pray that as I would be revealing your truths from your scriptures, I ask, O Lord, that you speak through me to every hearer in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, because you will do more than we have asked you. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. I welcome every one of you to the Lord's presence. We are going to continue from where we stopped during the last class. And you know that we are in part 4 of our teaching on building a strong discerning spirit. Yeah, and the next topic under the part four is witchcraft and the prophetic. Yeah, don't forget that the part four says discerning the realms of witchcraft and demons. Discerning the realms of witchcraft and demons. And the topic of tonight under this part four says witchcraft and the prophetic. Witchcraft and the prophetic. Yeah, I decided to connect the two together. I decided to connect witchcraft and the prophetic together so that you can understand how witchcraft can be practiced inside the prophetic ministry. Yeah, so you need to understand how witchcraft can become prophetic and how the prophetic can become witchcraft. Yeah, and then you might want to ask, what is the meaning of prophetic? What does prophetic mean? Yeah, the word prophetic is connected to the word prophet. Yeah. And it's just an adjective. Prophetic, the word prophetic is an adjective. Yeah, and you know that an adjective is a word that qualifies a noun. An adjective is any word that tells us more about a noun. Yeah, any word that describes more about something. Yeah, so that's an adjective. So the prophetic, the word prophetic is an adjective that describes people who function as a prophet or who manifest prophetic gifts or who manifest some abilities that is similar to the abilities of a prophet. Yeah, so that is the meaning of the word prophetic. Now, I can say that pastor is a prophetic pastor. What does that mean? It means that pastor has an ability to do some assignments of a prophet. Yeah, so if I say this pastor or this believer is prophetic, yeah, it means the believer can do some assignments that prophet's doors. It means the believers can manifest some gifts, some abilities that prophets do manifest. And in other words, it means the believer can hear from God and can deliver God's messages to people, which is what prophets does. Yeah, so that's just the meaning of the word prophetic. To be able to channel God's word, as in not the Bible, not the written word, the ability to channel God's spoken word, what God is saying to people, that is what being prophetic is all about. The ability to relate God's mind, God's voice, God's revelations, God's visions, God's dreams, the ability to relate them to people. That is, you get those revelations from God and then you show it to people. Yeah, that is what being prophetic means. It also means the ability to see into the spiritual realms. Yeah, the ability to discern what is going on in the spiritual realms. Yeah, and be able to tell people about what is going on in the spiritual realms. Whether the realms of God or the realms of demons. Yeah, so that is what being prophetic is all about. Yeah. But now we are looking at witchcraft and the prophetic. How the two of them connect together. How we can see how we can find witchcraft inside the prophetic, and how the prophetic can be found inside witchcraft. So that is what we want to look at tonight. Yeah, some time ago, I was teaching some students who want to learn about prophetic things or prophetic manifestations. Yeah, and I told them that there is a very thin line between the realm of witchcraft and the realm of prophecy, if I can put it that way. I was telling them that there's a very thin line between the realm of witchcraft and the realm of the prophetic. Yeah, and I would be speaking more on that thin line in this teaching. Yeah, so that you can know how to be careful when you are dealing with prophetic things, or when you're manifesting prophetic gifts, or when you are with people who have prophetic gifts and abilities, so that you will know how to be very careful. So I'll speak more of that thin line, because it's just a very thin line, meaning that it is easy for people to cross into witchcraft while they are busy manifesting the prophetic. Yeah, it is very easy for people, for believers, for ministers, to cross into witchcraft. In fact, it happens very fast if you're not careful. Let us look at this scripture in 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. Second Peter chapter 1, verse 20 to 21. Second Peter chapter 1, verse 20 to 21. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God speak as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. I'm going to read that verse 21 again. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God speak as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Holy men of God speak as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Apostle Peter was telling us here that prophecy from the Old Testament days did not come by the will of man. So, which means those prophets in the scriptures, they did not just think in their mind and say, I want to prophesy right now. Yeah, they did not just think it in their mind. Plan it in their mind and decide it in their minds and say, I am going to prophesy right now. And then they began to look at people's faces and begin to say, thus saith the Lord. And then they look at another person's face and say, thus saith the Lord. And then they look at this country and say, thus saith the Lord. Yeah, so our prophecy did not happen like that from the old time, from the ancient times. This verse said that holy men of God, they speak, meaning that they prophesied as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. They were moved by the Holy Ghost. There's a high level of corruption in the prophetic in these last days. There's a high level of corruption in prophetic gifts prophetic abilities and prophetic ministries that we have today. Because the Holy Ghost is no longer the one moving these so-called prophets and prophetic people. The Holy Ghost is no longer the one moving them. Maybe I should say they are the one moving the Holy Ghost. Yeah, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21 says that the holy men of God, they prophesied, they spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. But today, the reverse is the case in many churches and in many so-called prophets and prophetic people. So they don't speak by the Holy Ghost. Many of them don't speak by the Holy Ghost. Though, maybe when they started prophesying, maybe they were speaking by the Holy Ghost. But now, many of them no longer speak by the Holy Ghost. So that is witchcraft. Now, when you speak a message with an impression that it came from God and it did not actually come from God, that is witchcraft. Yeah, when you speak to people and tell them that this is what God has said, or this is what God is saying, and God never moved you to say that, it is witchcraft. Yeah, I don't know if I have told you before. On this platform. Some time ago, I was listening to a very popular man of God, a well-known man of God here in Nigeria. And he was releasing New Year prophecies. You know, my network suddenly got disconnected. I was saying that some time ago I was listening to a well-known man of God giving out prophecies about a new year. And he was saying so many things. Yeah, so along the line, as I was listening to those prophecies, he said something, and immediately said something, he said that thing. The Holy Spirit told me that he is not the one that revealed that one to him. I mean, immediately he said that something is going to happen in that year. The spirit of God told me that he is not the one that revealed that to him. But here is what got me surprised. The Spirit of God told me that what he said is true, but it is not from him. I don't know if I get to my point. The Spirit of God told me that prophecy that came from that popular man of God is true, but he did not reveal it to him, meaning that another spirit revealed the prophecy to him. The Holy Spirit said he's not the one that revealed that to him, but another spirit revealed it to him. Now, what I'm bringing from that word the Lord told me then is this. It is possible to speak the truth, and yet it is not coming from the Holy Spirit. Because there are other spirits that are not from God that also can reveal the truth. So even if you are prophesying the truth and it is not by the Spirit of God, it is witchcraft. If you are prophesying what is true and God is not the one telling you to say that, God is not the one revealing that to you. Whether you learn it from a spirit, or whether another spirit revealed it to you, or you are being controlled by another spirit, or whatever way, inasmuch as it is not the Lord moving you to speak those things, it is still witchcraft. We saw in the scripture how a young girl possessed with the spirit of divination, how she was able to tell people about their future, and she was always accurate. She was able to tell people about their lives, and she was always true. But the spirit in the girl is not the Spirit of God. It's the demon. But the demon could reveal the truth. Even when that young girl saw the apostles in Acts, I think it's in Acts chapter 16. When the young girl saw the apostles, she still spoke the truth. She said, these men are from God, and they have come to show us the way of salvation. She was still saying the truth, but she was saying it by another spirit. So we must be very careful when it comes to prophetic things prophetic gifts, prophetic abilities, prophetic manifestations, we must be very careful because prophesying the truth does not guarantee that the person is filled with the Spirit of God. The fact that a person speaks what is true doesn't mean he or she has spoken by the Spirit of God. Yeah, that is why I said earlier that there is a very thin line between the true prophetic realm and witchcraft realm. And it is so easy to enter into witchcraft if you are not careful. In fact, it is so easy to embrace witchcraft people, witchcraft ministers, and think they are from God. Yeah, let us continue. I want us to read Revelation, the book of Revelation, chapter 2. The book of Revelation, chapter 2, verse 14. Revelation, chapter 2, verse 14. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. Yeah, I don't know if some of you know about the story of Balaam, the prophet, and Balak. Yeah, because of time, I decided not to include the scriptures where the story is in details, because of time. But you can go and read them. I think it's in Numbers chapter 22, 23. Yeah, you can read them. Numbers chapter 22, chapter 23. Yeah, you will see the story of Balaam, the prophet, and Balak. Yeah. In this verse, in Revelation chapter 2, verse 14, Jesus was telling that particular church, Jesus was telling them that he has some things against them. Yeah, that is the church in Pergamum. The church in Pergamos. Yeah. Revelation chapter 2, verse 14. Now, Jesus was telling the people in that church that he has some few things against them. And one of them, one of those things was that they have accommodated people with the doctrine of Balaam, So meaning that in that church they have embraced prophets like Balaam. Yeah, and we know what Balaam did. Yeah, I'm going to tell you a summary of what Balaam did. There was a time the children of Israel, while they were on their journey to the promised land, they came to Midian. They came to the land of the Midianites. Even though they were not going to fight them, but the king of the Midianites, whose name was Balak, want to destroy the Israelites. He was not happy that the nation of Israel or the children of Israel was becoming a great nation. So he wants to destroy them. He wants to overcome them by all means. Yeah, so he went to hire a prophet because that prophet has a very strong anointing to curse and to bless. Yeah, so his name was Balaam. That was the name of the prophet. Yeah, so he went to hire the prophet and told him that curse these people for me. Because once you curse them, I'll be able to conquer them. Yeah, but God appeared to Balaam and warned him that you can't curse these people because I have blessed them. Yeah, but to cut the long story short, eventually Balaam went to do what the king asked him, but God still did not allow him to curse the children of Israel. As he opened his mouth, he was blessing the people of Israel. He could not curse them. He could not curse them. Yeah, and if you read that account in the book of Numbers, you would think that man, Balaam, really is a good man or a righteous man or an holy prophet. But it's a lie. Balaam was a witchcraft prophet. Yeah, because eventually it was him who taught the king of Midian or the king of the land of Midianites, whose name was Balak. It was him who taught that man how he can overcome the children of Israel. He told the man that send your virgins to the camp where the children of Israel are. Send all your virgins in your land to the camp. So once the men of Israel begin to commit fornication with those your daughters, your virgin daughters, that God is going to turn against them. And in that way, you'll be able to overcome them. Yeah. So imagine a prophet teaching the enemies of God's people how to conquer God's people. And yet he claimed that he was a prophet of the Almighty God. Yeah, so even today we have prophets with the doctrine and lifestyle of Balaam in the church today. Yeah, we have prophets who have caused many believers, many innocent believers. Yeah, though those believers were ignorant and naive or foolish, but at least they were innocent. So those prophets, because of what they will hit, yeah, because Balaam was a prophet that loved his stomach so much. He loves material things because that king was going to give him a lot of beautiful things and a lot of riches, a lot of money. So he loved material things more than doing the will of God. So even so, we have prophets today who have entered into the realm of witchcraft because of their love for the things of this world, because of their love for money, because of their love for material things. That was how they became witchcraft prophets. Just like Balaam, because of the king, because of the gifts the king would give him, he taught that man, that king, Balak, how to lay a stumbling block for the Israelites to fall. Yeah. He taught them how to lure the people of Israel into fornication so that their God can turn against them. Because eventually, God turned against the children of Israel after they committed the fornication. In fact, God killed a lot of them. God killed more of them. Large number of them, maybe over 20,000 men, were killed by God himself after they committed that fornication with the virgins of the land of Midian. Yeah. So watch out for prophets or prophetic people who are practicing the doctrine of Balaam, who are living the lifestyle of Balaam. Watch out for them. Yeah, so those are prophets whose bellies is their God. The God they serve is their appetite. They are not serving the living God. They are only serving their stomachs. So it is what they eat, it is what they will eat that is moving them to prophesy. It is no longer the Holy Spirit. It is the riches and wealth they crave for that is moving them to prophesy. Not the Spirit of God. We have a lot of them in many countries. Yeah, and you know them. Many of you know them. Yeah, so they are not after winning the souls of people. They are not after helping people grow in the knowledge of God. They are not after drawing people closer to God, teaching the people, showing the people how they can develop strong personal relationship with God. They are not after helping people discover their callings, their gifts, and helping them to mature, to fulfill their callings. Those prophets are not after all these things I have mentioned. They're only after the money in the pockets of people, the money in the bank accounts of people. And that is the drive for their prophetic ministry. That is why they are in the prophetic ministry. Yeah, so when you see them, run away from them. Let us also look at 1 Kings chapter 22. First Kings 22. You will see another prophet that was different. First Kings 22. I'm going to read verse 6 first. I'm going to first read verse 6 before I read other verses. Yeah. Verse 6 says, 1 Kings 22, verse 6 says, then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said unto them, shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to battle? Or shall I forbear? And they said, go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. Yeah. What really caught my attention is the number of those prophets. It says about 400 men. About 400 men. And they were all saying the same thing. The king said, can we go to war in Ramoth Gilead? And all of them said, you can go, for the Lord shall deliver. How do they put it? For the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. So, and 400 prophets were prophesying lies. Yeah. But because the king's ally, whose name was Jehoshaphat. Yeah, he felt like why is all of these 400 prophets saying the same thing? So he felt like something is missing somewhere. So he said, is there not another prophet apart from these ones, apart from this palace prophet? Because those 400 prophets, they are palace prophets. Yeah, they are royal prophets. That is, they prophesy mostly to the king. So maybe they are on payroll, maybe they are on salary, maybe they receive they always receive some benefits from the palace. Yeah. So Jehoshaphat felt like Can't we also inquire of God through another prophet? Then the king said, there's one other guy. There's one other prophet. Though he does not always tell me good things. He does not always prophesy good things. His name is Micaiah. He said, let us send for him. Yeah, so they sent for Micaiah. Now I'm going to read other verses. I'm going to read verse 19. 1 Kings 22. Verse 19. Yeah, so when they sent for Micaiah, Micaiah now began to tell the truth about the mind of God. I mean, about what is in the mind of God for the king of Israel. And he said, hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the hosts of heaven standing by him, on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab, that he may go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead? And one said on this manner, and another said on that manner. And there came forth a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. And the Lord said unto him, wherewith? And he said, I will go forth and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, thou shalt persuade him and prevail also. Go forth and do so. That is, God told that spirit that this, your idea, is going to work. Because God was concerned about how Ahab would fall and die. Yeah, because it was time to execute judgment on Ahab, since he hates God and the will of God. But God was looking for how can we execute this judgment. Yeah, so God called for a meeting in heaven and was talking with all the angels. How are we going to make this man fall? And that spirit came and said, I can do it. I can become a lying spirit in the mouths of all his prophets, all the king's prophets, that is the 400 prophets in the palace. He said, that is the strategy. And God said, you are very smart. God said, go and do it because you will succeed. And the spirit succeeded. So, this prophet Micaiah now exposed the secret of what happened in heaven. Yeah. He exposed everything that happened in heaven before those prophets began to prophesy their lies, saying, you can go and fight. You will overcome. Whereas, he was going to die on the battlefield. But none of them could discern the truth. Why? Why is it that none of those prophets could discern what Micaiah discerned? The answer is simple. Because they have entered into the realm of witchcraft. Do all those prophets, they are all witchcraft prophets. That was why they could not discern what is going on in heaven or what happened in heaven. Yeah. Verse 23. Now therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these thy prophets, and the Lord hath spoken evil concerning thee. Yeah. So that was how just one prophet stood out among many prophets. Yeah, because he loved the Lord and because he hates witchcraft. Yeah. When I read about this prophet in the Bible, I mean this prophet we've just read about now, sometime ago when I read about this passage, I made up my mind that I want to be a different minister of God. Yeah, I made up my mind that I want to be a different man of God. Yeah, that I don't want to be like those 400 prophets who were so dark, they were so full of darkness, that a lying spirit from heaven could easily deceive them. I made up my mind that I don't want to be like those 400 prophets. Yeah, I said I want to be a prophet that could speak the secrets of heaven. Yeah. I told myself that I want to be a prophet that can reveal what God is thinking in heaven right now. Yeah. And from that time to now, I have seen a lot of things changed in my life. Because I determined that I will not enter into witchcraft. Because I'm a minister of God, or because I want to minister to people. Yeah. And God has been helping me. Now, my point here is that there's so much you must forsake, so much you must deny in this world as a believer and as a minister, if you will not cross into witchcraft, especially on prophetic matters, there is so much you must deny. So much you must deny. If I am so desperate for money, I would have entered into witchcraft some years ago. If it is money I'm looking for, yeah, I would have entered into witchcraft. I would have become a witchcraft prophet. Yeah. But I thank God that I'm different. So there's a lot you must forsake. That prophet whose name was Micaiah. Yeah. It's not as if he doesn't like good things. He doesn't like money. He doesn't like all the gifts that comes from the palace. I'm sure many times they would have invited him to come and join them at the palace, and he would have refused. But he chose to be different. Yeah. I was telling someone some time ago that my choice to be different is not because I want to prove to anybody that I'm a real man of God. No. It's a personal choice because I love the Lord and I love His kingdom. Yeah, it's not because I want to prove to someone that, because we have some men of God who will say, I'm not doing this. Yeah, so you can see I'm a real man of God because look at this, I'm not doing other people are doing this. I'm not doing. Other people are doing that. I am not doing. Yeah, so you can see that this confirms that I'm a real man of God. Well, I don't know if they are real. Yeah, because if you are real indeed, you will not do anything because of people. Yeah, you will not. So I'm not trying to prove to anyone that I'm true or false. I make a choice to love God and to love Him forever. Yeah, I make a choice to represent God on earth. That through me, people may learn God and know God. Yeah. So it was not to please anyone or to impress anyone. So that's why I don't care whether I have 10,000 members today and then maybe tomorrow all of them went away. I don't care. Because my focus is not the people. My focus is the kingdom of God. Yeah. So if you really want to become a believer or a minister that would not cross into witchcraft in the name of being prophetic, you must be pure. You must be pure. You must set yourself apart. You must consecrate yourself. You must forsake many things in this world. Yeah, because if you don't, those things will be the grounds, or those things will be the legal grounds through which Satan would corrupt you and deceive you and draw you into witchcraft. I know of men of God who were genuine when they started ministry. Yeah, but because of the desire or the cares of this world. I mean, the desire to be rich and the cares of this world. How would I take care of my family? How would I feed my children? How would I feed my wife? So all of those, because of those things, they began to they ended up into witchcraft. They ended up crossing into witchcraft because of the issues of this life, the cares of this life. Yeah. They were not willing to suffer for righteousness' sake. Yeah. So they crossed into witchcraft because of what they will eat, what they will wear, how they will feed the family, and they will take care of their spouses and their spouse. Yeah. So, because of those things, they began to add things to the word of God that should not be added. God will give them a message. They will add their own message to God's message before they deliver it to the people. Yeah. So, that was how they entered into witchcraft. So, many false prophets, we have today did not started as false. They started well. So that is why I used to tell people that I could have become a false prophet too if I want. Yeah. But we must make a choice. Yeah, we must be determined to be different. In so doing, God will be able to trust us and expose many secrets to us. I know people who are gifted with dreams. They used to get prophetic dreams, prophetic visions, and revelations from God. I know people who used to hear voice from God. I know people who used to prophesy. Yeah. But today, many of them, they are out of the way. Because they did not follow after a pure life. They did not follow after holiness. So today, they still dream, but their dream is not powerful as before. It's no longer powerful as before. They still prophesy, but it's not like those days when I knew them. Yeah, so we must be careful. Yeah, let's look at another scripture as I round off the teaching. Deuteronomy 13. Deuteronomy chapter 13. Verse 1 to 5. Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 1 to 5. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, wherefore he speak unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet, or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God proveth you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him, and keep his commandments, and obey his voice, and he shall serve him, and cleave unto him. Verse 5. And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, because he hath spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt, and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to trust thee out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in. So shalt thou put the evil away from the midst of thee. Praise the Lord. Yeah, so I had to read all those 5 verses, so that you can see for yourself. And if you have followed the reading of those verses, you will see what the Lord wants to teach you at this time. In those verses, the Lord was saying that if there arose from among you a prophet or dreamer of dreams, and that person gave a sign, or that person prophesied, and that sign or prophecy came to pass, and then the prophet or the dreamer of dreams now went further to tell you to turn away from serving your Lord the Lord your God to serve some idols, some other gods. Yeah, he said, don't believe that prophet. Don't follow that prophet. Because God is testing you. God is proving you to see if you really love him. I don't know if you are getting something here. Yeah, because there's another verse in the scripture. In I think in Deuteronomy 18 verse 22 that told us about how to know a real prophet. Yeah. And many people used to quote that Deuteronomy 18 verse 22. They will say, the Bible says that any prophet that speaks and the thing come to pass, that is the right prophet. Yeah. They would say that any prophet that speak and the word does not come to pass, then that is a false prophet. Yeah, but I don't know, maybe they have not seen this Deuteronomy 13. Maybe they have not read it. Yeah, because if they have read Deuteronomy 13, they will not just conclude that because the word of one prophet came to pass, automatically make him or make her a true prophet. Yeah. I don't know if you are saying something here. So don't join those foolish Christians who are following witch doctors and they think they are following prophets. Yeah, because whatever that person said always come to pass. And then they concluded in their minds that he must be a true man of God. Now, they did not pay attention to the other things that God mentioned in Deuteronomy chapter 13, which says that if after the words of that prophet came to pass, and then he now begin to teach you to do things that will draw you from God. He now begin to tell you to serve other gods apart from the Lord your God. Yeah. It says you must not believe that prophet. You must not follow that prophet. Now, if you look at many churches today, many Pentecostal churches and prophetic churches, you would see you would see a lot of prophets that have records of their words coming to pass. But then, their teachings and their doctrines is contrary to the Bible, contrary to the standard of God, contrary to the standard of God's kingdom, contrary to the will of God, and yet people keep following them. So these people, they manifest gifts and they prophesy things, and somehow those things come to pass or those things are accurate. But people don't look at what they are teaching. Yeah, people don't pay attention to what they teach. And the lifestyle they live, the kind of life they live. they don't look at what is being promoted in that church. Yeah, because in many of those churches, money is being promoted. Love of money is being promoted. All they teach and preach is prosperity. All they teach and preach is the things of this world. Yeah, they don't talk about holiness. They don't talk about righteousness. They don't talk about denying self. In fact, they promote self instead of teaching people to deny themselves. They help people to love themselves. Yeah, so they do contrary to the standard of the gospel. The purpose of the gospel is missing in such churches and ministries. And yet, people regard them as true prophets. Yeah, it is deception. High class deception from the kingdom of darkness. Yeah, so I believe God have helped me to show you from the scriptures how it is so easy to cross into the realm of witchcraft from the realm of prophetic. Yeah. Yeah, in fact, there are so many things I have taught on this topic before now that I did not mention today. Yeah, so many things I have taught on this topic. You can go on my Facebook page and search for what was the topic then? You can search for witchcraft prophets on my Facebook page. You will see some things that I've mentioned there. And probably that there are some other articles I've written. Yeah, but let me tell you this. You know, when I began to minister, when I began to minister, as in when I started ministry newly, there were many things God taught me that shocked me. I mean, God taught me some things and I was shocked how those things could mean witchcraft. Because I thought those things are not bad, but God said they are witchcraft. Yeah, and one of them is this. You know, sometimes when you are ministering to people, if you're a minister of God, you should be able to relate with what I'm about to say. Sometimes when you are ministering to people, there's a way you feel like God should answer your prayer for them. Yeah, there's a way you can feel like let God answer your prayer for them in a certain way. That is, you are praying for those people. And then you expect that God should answer your prayer for those people in a certain way. And sometimes you even imagine how you want God to answer your prayer for those people. Sometimes you imagine it in your heart as you're praying for those people. Yeah, God told me that expectation and imagination is witchcraft. Yeah, that the fact that I want the Holy Spirit to to move in a certain way to help the people I'm praying for, that is witchcraft. Yeah, so I was shocked. Yeah, because sometimes when you're praying for people, you might feel like, let the Holy Ghost come upon them and let them fall down on the ground and begin to, you know, manifest. Yeah. So God said, God told me then that those thoughts or expectations, they are witchcraft. Yeah, in fact, to the point that he said, when I pray for people for healing, I don't need to create an imagination of how he would heal them. So he said it is him that chooses how he wants to work in people's lives. It is not we that will decide. I mean we ministers that will decide how he should work in people's lives. Yeah. That he will choose how he wants to do the work. Yeah, he will choose how he wants to deliver them, how he wants to heal them, how he wants to bless them. So when you are ministering under the anointing, don't tell the anointing how the anointing should move. Don't instruct the Holy Spirit on what to do in people's lives. You should only be concerned about the final result. Okay, I want these people healed. Fine. But how it will happen, don't push it on the people, or don't think that it has to happen in a certain way. Like, you should not even think like that. Except the Lord now lead you that, okay. Except the Lord now show you that this is how I want to do it. And then he tells you to guide the people in the process. Yeah, that is a different case. But when God is not saying that this is exactly what I want to do in the church service, don't put anything in your mind. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. Yeah, so don't expect that a manifestation will happen to the people you're praying for. Let your mind be on the final result. So how that result will come, don't create that how. Yeah, because many people, they have stopped the Holy Ghost in the process. Because they already created a pattern for the Holy Ghost to follow. And that is not the pattern the Holy Ghost wants to follow. And because of that, they lost the move of God. And some, they only saw very little move of God. Yeah, because the Holy Spirit hates witchcraft. So it is witchcraft when you're ministering and then you're expecting that the Holy Spirit should move in a certain way. Our goal is that when we minister, people get saved, people get healed. In fact, that people get healed instantly, that people get delivered instantly, that people get blessed. Yeah, but we should not create the pattern for that. Yeah. We should not begin to... If you go to some churches, you'll be surprised at what you will see. A lot of rubbish going on. Yeah, but I believe you understand my point. There are some people, they will tell the congregation, when you are coming next service, bring bottle of holy oil. God is going to use that oil to heal the sick, to raise the dead. But the Holy Spirit did not say he wants to use oil. The Holy Spirit did not say he wants to use water. They tell the people to bring water. Tell the people to bring handkerchief. They tell the people to bring oil. But the Holy Spirit did not say he wants to use those things. So it is witchcraft. Yeah, of course there are times that the Holy Spirit will say that, which even in our ministry, there are times the Holy Spirit led us like that. But when the Holy Spirit is not saying that, and you are creating that, it is witchcraft. Yeah, it is witchcraft. So we must not create the pattern. We must not tell God, we must not do anything that shows that we are telling God how he should move and revive his people and help his people and bless his people. I pray that the Lord will give you more understanding on these things. Yeah, I don't know why I'm telling you these details. Yeah, we're going to stop here. And if you have questions, you can ask on our Telegram platform. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your presence in our midst. We thank you for all the things you have opened our eyes to see during the course of this teaching. We thank you for showing us how to be very careful with the prophetic ministry and prophetic gifts. Thank you for showing us how to avoid witchcraft at all costs in our prophetic service to you and spiritual worship to you. I ask, O Lord, that you help everyone here right now and those that will still hear this audio message. I pray that you help everyone to heed to this warning in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, because we know you have answered. In Jesus' name, we have prayed.